Yahweh Skenekagwego, I'm thankful you're well. You're listening to Gyno. If you're tuning in for the first time today, Gyno is a Seneca word for music or song. Coming to you from the Allegheny Territory of the Seneca Nation, I'm Brett Mabee. Each week we take a listen to some incredible music from different indigenous artists from all across Turtle Island, so for this next hour you're invited to enjoy the music and the chat. Today's featured artist hardly needs any kind of introduction. Raven Ganadakta and Shoshona Kish have been performing as Digging Roots for nearly two decades. Today we're going to be discussing their fourth and latest release, Jawenum. It's described as a collection of songs that reflect on both their personal relationship with nature and our collective duty to preserve it. I have a lot of great listening coming your way and an important conversation about some important topics. In the meantime, turn it up and sing along on Gyno.
I was born here, it's where I belong. My bloodline sings, brings new songs. I'm rooted down, but I can't stay too long. Sometimes I need to disappear. Man, it's hard living round here.
This land calls me home again.
Digging Roots from their fourth and newest album, Jawenum. That's the opening track, She Calls Me, as we get into our listening of today's great music on today's episode of Gyno. Welcome back. I'm your host, Brett Mabee, and I'm excited about my conversation with Raven Ganadakta, one of the co-founders of this great band. So first things first, Raven, Nyawis Ganon Sego, how are you doing today?
Sego, quick way. I'm really good. I'm in Ottawa right now, and it's summertime, and it's one of my favorite seasons.
This is perfect weather, at least where we're at right now. I was just talking about that with my son, and this is more manageable right now, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love the heat, and you know, when it gets minus 40 and where I grew up on my res, like, it's nice to have that wood in the fire, but you know, it gets cozy out there. But I, in the summertime, I just really love the sunshine, and I love the heat.
Well, it sounds like Digging Roots is going to be able to be traveling enough to always kind of follow the sun and the warmth like that, but we'll save that for a little bit later in the conversation. Let's stay right where we're at and talk a little bit about your musical upbringing, especially as we're fastly approaching like 20 years with Digging Roots, yeah?
Yeah, amazing. I mean, I guess... I really started music with learning guitar on the res. My grandpa used to bring his acoustic guitar over, and he taught me a few chords, and he's a big country music fan. And so I think the first song that he taught me was A Boy Named Sue, the Johnny Cash version. And I remember singing that, learning all the lyrics. And then I got super excited about being able to create music and whatnot. So I just kind of continued from there. We had a family friend by the name of Willie Dunn. He's just like the Red Crow Westerman of Canada. Like, Willie was Mi'kmaq from the East Coast and had met my folks in Montreal back in the day. And then I guess he had moved to Ottawa, and my folks had moved to Ottawa too. But he would come up to our res and play music. And I was really inspired by Willie Dunn's music and how potent his lyrics were, because he was really talking about us as a collective people, as Indigenous people, and some of the hardships that we were going through. And he was singing about that, and nowhere else in music was I hearing that other than Floyd Redgrove, I guess, at the time, and probably Buffy.
Sure.
But it was like a really great eye-opener for me. And then when I moved from the res to the city, when I was about 15 or so, Lily started to hire me for gigs. And I was learning how to play guitar still. And so all my professional gigs were with Willie Dunn when I started really early. And he would just play all of this really excellent music of his. And we'd do these duo shows, and sometimes with a full band as well. And it was basically my training ground as a musician. Ooh. And also he really inspired me on how I write my music today as well.
See, I knew that he was a mentor and played a vital role, but I didn't realize, I mean, he was really there at the beginning and kind of responsible for you getting the bug, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that. I remember him calling me for a gig in Ottawa, and it wasn't a small gig. It was playing at the National Art Gallery of Canada. And I was like, oh my God, it's like my first gig. And like, and I was, you know, I had played in bars before that and things like that, but this was sort of this national gig, and he had a huge band at the time. Like, it was probably like 8 or 9 musicians, me being one of them. So it sort of took the pressure off having to carry the load of everything, but it was really, really exciting. And it actually really got me hooked on a different level, because I got a taste for, oh, you know, this is what a nice gig feels like. And this is what an audience that actually, you know, wants to listen to music instead of drinking a bar is like.
Sure. No, that's you couldn't really ask for a better musical background and education, you know, than what you got. That's amazing. And, you know, I do want to talk a little bit more about Willie. And you were kind enough, of course, to play along and give me some recommendations. We're going to be featuring Willie Dunn's Charlie. And I feel like that is an appropriate song as we get into more of the content and meaning behind the songs of Jawenum. So we'll come back and talk a little bit about that. But before getting into the music, now, Digging Roots, you and Shoshona, which came first, the relationship or the music, or are they hand in hand? You can't separate the two.
You know what? A really quick version of it is that it all kind of came together all at once. Like, I was living in Boston, and I come back to Ottawa to visit my folks. And I had this Indigenous writer friend of mine, and he was teaching out West. And he said, oh, you know, you have to meet this person, Shoshona. She's a singer and a writer and an artist. And I was like, oh, great, great. And then I went back to Boston. I came back later, a few months later. And then he had given me this address. She lived right on top of this famous folk club called Rasputin's. It's, you know, a place where Neil Young and just a whole bunch of 60s artists used to play. So essentially, that's why I remembered it. I came back for a visit, knocked on the door, and Shoshona answered, and we talked for like 4 or 5 hours straight, just about life and music and just our backgrounds and our families. And then all of a sudden she was like, oh my God, I have to go right now. And I was like, where do you have to go? And she was like, I have to go downstairs. I have an audition for the Ottawa Folk Festival. And I was like, oh, cool, I'll come. And she's like, do you want to play? And I was like, sure. And at the time I had this big old Thunderbird. So I had my guitar in there and basically my life. And I grabbed my Martin acoustic guitar and we rushed on stage and she played a tune and I played a tune and we both backed each other up. And out of about 130 auditions over the course of 2 days, we got the one spot. And so I feel like everything sort of like serendipitously came together in one go. And yeah, so everything kind of happened.
It was written in the stars, and I'm excited to come back and talk about Digging Roots' journey in the last 18 years and dig a little bit more into specifically this album. Anybody who knows me knows that I love music with substance. I love it when you can dive into the meaning behind songs, and each of the tracks on Jawenum are exactly like that. In fact, perhaps you can help me to introduce this next song we're going to be hearing, one of the singles that were released in anticipation of the album. We're going to be hearing The Healer. Tell us a little bit about this track.
Yeah, The Healer was written about a friend of ours, Richard Wagenese. He's passed now, but he had such an intense journey in this life, but he was so extremely talented too. I feel like when you have that kind of loss, it really affects you. And, you know, and I'm sure that he's back home with all the ancestors now, but, you know, we wanted to write a song in tribute to him, but also to the place that we come from and what we're fighting against. Like, you know, as Indigenous people, we're always, you know, dealing with the effects of oppression and colonialism and genocide and, you know, things like, you know, the reserve system and residential schools. And there's just so many abuses, and it's actually amazing that we're here, you know, and we're still here and we're strong. And I think that we're doing that because, you know, of the healing work that we've been concentrating on, and that comes from our teachings and that comes from our value systems and that traditional knowledge. So when we're grounded in that way, it's how we're able to make it through all of the tribulations of life. And we're all trying our best, and we're all dealing with, you know, the pains of this reality that we're living in. Like, I know that when I grew up on my res in Winnaway, I'd gone to so many funerals by the time I was like 15 years old. And I, you know, I mean, for me, I thought that was common, but, you know, when I moved to the city and when I moved to the city, you know, I was talking with my city friends, like, you know, most of those kids had never, ever been to a funeral. So, you know, and I had probably gone to like 40 funerals by then or something. And, you know, like cousins and aunties and uncles and, you know, like just family members, like it just, we're dealing with a lot. And I think that, you know, the focus of this song is we have to heal ourselves and we have to use the tools around us to get there, because, you know, that's how we make a good life. Like in Anishinaabemowin, we call it Bamadzuin. And Bamadzuin is that good life.
These tools that the ancestors fought to preserve, there is so much meaning behind it. These are the reasons why they endured what they did to make sure that these teachings and ways got transmitted to today when they knew we were going to need them again. So thank you so much for helping to introduce this next track. We'll come back, talk more about some of the other particular messages within the songs and dive a little bit more into some of this history that we were just talking about as well. So before our time is up, I have a couple more recommendations from Raven coming our way. We're also going to be hearing from the Tewa, one from Matonanji coming as well, but kicking off this block, Turn It Up and Sing Along with Digging Roots from Jawenum. It's The Healer today on Gyno.
I started to listen and I found that there was more to this story.
Take this opportunity. relations because we're one big family. Love is the message. Love is the deed. Open our minds up. New eyes to see. This is our moment to sing a new song. This is our moment to sing a new song. The hour is approaching, be ready when it comes. We can change the world with kindness, cause the darkness to run. One thing you must remember when you're pressed against the wall, that love is never wasted and the end comes to all. Love is the message. Love is the deed. Open our minds up, new eyes to see, the way it has always been done is now gone. This is our moment to sing a new song. This is our moment to sing a new song.
Alexa Dawson, phoning in from traditional Osage and Kansa territory, and you're listening to Gyno with Brett Mabee.
Walk on, little Charlie, walk on through the snow. Moving down the railway line, trying to make it home, and he's made it 40 miles, 600 left to go. It's a long, old, lonesome journey, shuffling through the snow. Lonely as a single star in the skies above. His father in a mining camp, his mother in the ground. And he's looking for his dad, and he's looking out for love. Just a lost little boy by the railroad track, moving homeward bound. He's a getting mighty hungry, it's been a time since last he's ate. And as the night grows colder, he wonders of his fate. For his legs are racked with pains, he staggers through the night. As he sees through his troubled eyes, his hands are turning white. that the great wind eagle come to look upon my face? And are the stars exploding down the misty aisle of space? Who's that coming down the track, walking up to me, her arms outstretched and waiting, waiting just for me? Little Charlie Wenger, shuffling through the snow, moving down the railway line, trying to make it home, and he's made it 40 miles, 600 left to go. It's a long, old, lonesome journey, shuffling through the snow.
The one and only Willie Dunn and Charlie, a song about the unfortunate passing of Charlie Wenjack. If you're just now tuning in, you're listening to Gyno. I'm your host, Brett Mabey, and I'm having an insightful conversation with today's featured artist, Raven Ganadakta. We're discussing Digging Roots' established history. They're fastly approaching 20 years as a band. We're talking the substance, particularly behind the songs. And again, I don't want to keep going back to Willie. This is our time to talk about your craft, but we really can't overstate the influence that Willie had on your songwriting, especially as it pertains to songs with a message and meaning. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, Willie offered me the opportunity to hear ourselves as Indigenous people in music, much like growing up and always sort of seeing the stereotype of like the Indian, yeah. The Hollywood stereotype. Like, Willie offered an alternative to that. He sang about the truth, and he sang about us as Indigenous people from the lens of who we are. Yeah. And that was an important distinction, because, you know, music in general, I mean, I love all kinds of music, but, you know, to have music that actually has your identity in it as well, it really affected me. And I remember, I think I was in maybe grade 5 or something on the res, and Willie came in and he sang Charlie Wenjack, and he was talking about, you know, Charlie Wenjack and how he died from exposure, how he was running away from the residential school and he froze to death trying to get back home. And, you know, we have those stories in our communities about all the children. Like, we have to remember that, you know, this has happened in Australia, in, you know, the US and in Canada. And unfortunately, a European practice, like with the whole thing of residential schools, but there was a certain perfection of how it was implemented in Canada. Like, once, you know, all of the Indigenous people were pushed onto reserves and whatnot, they could have control of them. And, you know, they needed to deal with the Indian problem. And part of what they were doing was they were amassing all the kids. So they were taking all the kids from all of the families and placing them into what they called residential schools, which were usually far away from their communities. You weren't allowed to speak your language. When you got there, they cut your hair. People were abused. And a lot of atrocities happened, especially in the areas of sexual abuse and murder. And it's quite a rough time, because I guess, you know, in perspective, like last year, they started to rediscover some of the bodies in Canada of these young children. And I think it started off with a little over 200 bodies. And then recently, I played a gig up in northern Quebec in Algonquin territory. And we played the gig. It was really great. And as we were coming back south, we stopped on an Algonquin reserve there, and I have some cousins on that reserve. And when we were leaving, there was this big sign, and it said 10,028 rediscovered little children, you know, and that's all across the country. So, you know, 10,000 is a lot of children that have been murdered. Yeah. And in those 10,000 kids that didn't get to fully live their life, it's such a loss to our community. And you think of the heartache of each of those children and their respective families and the mothers and the fathers that never got to see them again or even have the awareness of where they were buried. It's just so heartbreaking. My dad, who was riding with me, also said, well, you know, the other thing to consider, Raven, is that that's only 10% of the schools so far that's been surveyed. So, you know, we're dealing with this huge thing right now where while I grew up hearing these stories of the missing children and relatives, there's many survivors from these residential schools. Even recently, the Pope did a visit here in Canada and he came to make an apology about it. I kind of found that it was a half apology though, because the Pope, you know, said, I'm sorry publicly, but then he said, I want to ask God for forgiveness. And I just felt really odd about that, because I don't know why he's asking God for forgiveness when he should be asking us for forgiveness.
And doing something to make that right here.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, like, because what that did is it just stirred up everybody's trauma,
yeah.
You know, and everybody is kind of reliving this stuff and people are having a hard time. And, you know, so one of the ways that I deal with this stuff is I write music, and, you know, I write music that helps me and helps to move some of that energy. Like, we have a song called Cut My Hair, and Cut My Hair is basically about the residential school experience. Like, Shoshona's great aunt came to visit us a number of years ago, and over the course of 3 days, she came and told us her story of residential schools, because her entire family was sent off to this residential school called Spanish. And my great-grandfather, whose name was Ganadakta from Ganawage, also got sent to that residential school because many of the kids, they used to displace them through, you know, great distances so they would lose their identity and lose their connection to the community. So she just told us this intense story of herself and all of her siblings that attended. But in what we did is we just cooked moose meat and we had like an amazing feast. And then when she wasn't telling her story, she was like, let's get up and dance. And like, you know, so she'd be dancing and only to Bob Marley and to Willie Dunn. Yeah. So, you know, we ended up writing this song called Cut My Hair. And it's about that. And when we play it, we say that it's like Mishkiki Nagamuan, it's a medicine song, because that song talks about the story of all those little ancestors, and it helps to move that energy. I mean, it doesn't cure or solve anything, but I think it's really important, you know, when we're dealing with the oppression of colonialism, that we move those energies around so that we can make room for all of that good life that I was talking about earlier.
Oh, I see when there's still Michigan, still medicine at the root.